on Phoenix, who'd wanted to hear it too. "Yes," said Romke, "and I maintain my position that that man is trouble. He's a narcissistic demagogue who claims authority over all House Harmony, and most of his own House-aligned resent it, to say nothing of the House of Houses, the central Paran leadership, who'd all like to see him killed."
"I would appreciate further analysis," said Styx, "from the human perspective. Yours, Professor Romke."
Romke blinked, clearly pleased. "Well, I'll consult my databases, but I reiterate, the psychological differences between human and Paran are vast. Paran can change psychologies entirely, by choice, by phase of life, or by long-established practice in one of their great houses. The houses are the most prominent institution in Paran society, because they dictate the very psychology of all its members, right down to the biochemical level. Humans possess nothing like this psychological variability, and certainly not the means to control it en masse. So my analysis will be lacking that insight."
"Human religion does not qualify as mass thought control?"
Styx wondered. Romke smiled, standing aside for some texts while grasping a support by the door. "Perhaps, but human religion has rarely specified mood. As an irreligious man, I would argue that all human religious fanatics are suffering approximately similar psychosis. The great Paran houses dictate a multiplicity of psychoses, one for each."
"Interesting," said Styx.
Jacono wondered if Romke truly understood how obviously Styx played to his ego. For all her claims not to understand organic minds, she was a master manipulator of some, at least. So far, she hadn't tried it with him, however. Perhaps she knew he was onto her.
"Listening to the interview," said Jacono, "I'm becoming concerned that Aristan might guess at Styx's existence simply by our commander's questions. They are skilled, but they are not trained interviewers."
"I'd think we might be more worried that the State Department would talk to someone on Makamakala for that," said Romke. "De Bruta crew are loyal, but Tavalai are argumentative."
"Disruptive," said Styx, distastefully. "Uncoordinated. Troublesome."
She'd made clear her dislike for the Tavalai on numerous occasions. It clearly displeased her to be travelling through their space, relying on the secrecy of De Bruta to stay hidden.
"Trusting any Tavalai is unwise."
"Well, we won't get access to Tavalai space without De Bruta protection," Jacono reminded her. Doubtless she already knew that. Sometimes, Jacono thought, she pushed an idea just to see the human reaction and learn from it. There was no off button on the genius of a Hacksaw queen. Everything was calculation.
"This Aristan had devoted his life to House Harmony's greatest historical figure, Drachil. He thinks Drachil is a great hero of Paran history. However, he is reviled by most Paran today. Styx, do you think that Aristan's idea of Drachil has any relation to the actual man?"
"Organic history is an unsettled mix of narrative, mythology, and invention," said Styx. "Aristan knows nothing of Drachil. He merely wishes to use the idea of Drachil to manipulate the minds of his followers."
"Yes, exactly," said Romke,
nodding like a teacher, pleased with a very bright student.
"Exactly right."
Jacono nearly smiled.
"Drachil was the leader of House Harmony in the last great wars of the Machine Age. He sided his faction, the Tahre, with the Drycenes, against the Deepy Nines, and fought against his own people and all other organics for the continued supremacy of the machines. For this, Paran history has never forgiven him, nor his house. He is the ultimate traitor to the opposing Paran houses and denominations, and Aristan is the ultimate traitor today, for lauding such a man. Professor Romke, do you agree?"
"Yes, absolutely," said Romke. "What they all forget is that the Paran were a largely insignificant species before the alliance with the Drycenes at their height in the Machine Age.
Drycenes made the Paran strong, and if not for the Drycene Empire, the Paran..."